Hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is Pacifica National Board Programming Committee, and this is April 11th, 2021, on Sunday morning and afternoon. Let's see, I'm going to call roll call. This is Nancy Sarbar and I. Tell me your chair, and I will call roll call Jack Devine.
I'm here, Jack.
Jack Devine? Jack is present. Okay. Jose Gutierrez, Jr.? Jose, I do not hear you. Let's see. Wally James?
Here.
Wally is present. Wally James is present. Philip Mondari? Philip, I do not hear you. Thomas O'Rourke?
Present.
Thomas O'Rourke is present. Well, I'm not staying the stations. Okay. Lydia Ponce? Lydia, I do not hear you. Ralph Pointer?
Here.
Ralph, present. Ralph Pointer, present. Lawrence Reyes?
Present.
Lawrence Reyes, present. Nancy Sabar and Artomi, I'm present. And Sharon Salam?
Present.
Sharon Salam, present. Frank Sterling?
I'm here.
Frank Sterling, present. Tom Borges?
Tom is here.
Tom Borges is here. Harvey Wasserman? Harvey, I do not hear you. And Sandy Wyman?
Present.
Sandy is present. Sandy Wyman present. Okay, we have quorum. And let's see. Where's the agenda? Okay. For the agenda, I hope everybody... Did anybody not get the agenda this morning?
I didn't get it. So let's move
on.
Oh, you did? Speed ahead.
Oh, really? You did get it or you did not, Sharon?
I did not. I've been out all morning.
Oh, so, okay.
But that's all right. Let's move. Full speed ahead.
Okay. All right. Shall we give 30 seconds each for everybody to give a little introduction? That way we can learn each other's voices. We have some new people to the group that were not on last year. May we start alphabetically? Jack, you'd like to give your introduction? About 30 seconds. No strict time.
Oh, hey, this is Jack Devine. I'm from WBAI, local station board there. I'm a staff representative from who I'm a host and producer on Revolutions Per Minute, which is New York City Democratic Socialists of America's official radio show and podcast. And this is my second year on the committee.
And you're a rather young one, right? Under 30?
Yeah, I'm 28.
Okay, you're under 30 then. All right. Next is, are you finished, Jeff?
Yeah,
Jeff, are you finished? Okay, all right. Thank you. Next, Jose Gutierrez, Jr. I don't think he's here. Okay, Wally, you want to make an introduction?
Oh, Wally James, I'm staff representative at KPFT. And I've been on the BNB for a while and also on this committee. And I'm a longtime programmer at KPFT. I'm co-producer of the Progressive Forum.
Okay. Thank you, Wally. Are you finished? Okay.
Yeah. Phillip? That's it.
Okay. All right. Philip Maldari from KPFA. Did he make it? Got a show that ends at 2. I don't think so. Okay. Next. Let's see. Thomas O'Rourke from WPFW.
Yes, Thomas O'Rourke, PFW listener member, in my second stint on the LSB, and I just joined the PNB for this calendar year for the first time. Last year was on this committee as well, program committee, as well as the one in at the station. I'm a listener member, but also a contributing reporter to Esther Everam's newscast called On the Ground, which is an hour on Friday mornings, and some of you might pick it up. So, glad to be here, and a lot of unfinished business from last year. I hope we can move things along and get some positive motions and hopefully some understanding across the network to sort of not just standardize but improve quality across the board. in programming and other things. Thank you.
Thank you. And also, On the Ground show is on WBAI as well, right?
Yes, yes.
Okay, all right. Okay. Next, Lydia Ponce from KPFK. Did Lydia get it? Get on?
No, Lydia had a prior commitment that she could not get out of.
Okay. Okay. Thank you, Lawrence. Okay. Ralph Pointer from WBAI.
Yes. Ralph here. I was once criticized. They said, you know that Ralph, he's all over the place. Take that as a positive. Progressive movement, count me in. There's somebody in the crowd who's right. He's not alone because I'm and so.
Louder, please, Ralph. Louder.
Hello. Oh.
Yes, a little bit louder, please.
Right.
There's somebody in the crowd. He said.
And they're alone. They're not alone because I'm there. So I'm all over the place. This is progressive.
Okay, that was a really difficult connection here that we have. You're going to have to yell a little bit louder too.
Okay, I'm as loud as I can get. But I'll speak louder.
Yes. Okay. All right, Lawrence Reyes, please. Introduce yourself.
Yeah, Lawrence Reyes, KPFK listener on the LSB, also a member of the PNB as a director for KPFK as a listener. I have an internet show called From Decolonization to Liberation. Mm-hmm. I'm also I'm just a very busy person, so I think I'll only be on this call to around 12:15. My time, which I think is 3:15 Eastern. Okay. Thank you, Nancy.
Thank you, Lawrence. All right. Sharon Karam from WBAI.
Jose is currently in the hospital, so he won't be with us today.
Okay. Thank you. All right. Sharon from WBAI.
I'm Sharon Karam from WBAI, and I am a longtime listener to the station. And I'm on the board, but now I'm on this committee. This is my second year on this committee, and I'm looking forward to doing positive things that will help Stationwide us move forward with the issue of positive programming.
Thank you, Sharon. Okay. Mm-hmm. And Sharon's son is one of the Central Park Five. Who is running for office now, right? Public office? Is that right, Sharon?
I hope not. Oh, I don't know if he's running for office, but he is one of the Central Park Five.
Okay, I heard a rumor, so now I know it's not true. Okay.
Oh, that he's running for office?
Yes. Okay, it was wrong. Okay, thank you. Frank Sterling from KPFA, introduce yourself.
Hello. Yeah, I'm here. Frank Sterling here from KPFA in Berkeley. I live just about 30 miles from the station. I'm within the signal range. I can hear it very clearly out here. And I work as part of a training program at KPFA called the First Voice Apprenticeship Program. And basically, we're a training program that takes people from the community, teaches them basic broadcasting, engineering, hosting skills, and then they produce a weekly show for about 6 months, and then they graduate. And I've been, this is my second time on the KPFA LSB, and I'm looking forward to being part of the programming committee to see what kind of work I could do. I'm more into connecting the community to the station and important events that happen in the community that should be on the air, I feel, stuff like that. And sticking to our LSD guidelines that we help the station maintain important programming for the listeners. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, Tom Voorhees.
Yeah, I'm Tom Voorhees. I'm on the KTFA LSB. I'm also on the PNB. I've been on both for, what, 3-4 years, something like that now. I reside about 900 miles north of KPFA in Washington State. What do? I'm a transmitter engineer. I work mostly with affiliate stations, and I'm in the process at this time getting ready to install a new translator site to cover the Monterey Peninsula area for KPFA. And that's it for me.
Thank you, Tom. Okay, Harvey Wasserman just sent me a text that he cannot come today. Okay, Sandy, take it away. Sandy Wyman from KPFT.
Thank you. I'm a 24-year veteran programmer at KPFT with a show on Saturday afternoons called Deadbeat. This is my second stint on the program committee and also second stint on the LSB. I was on the original board that was back in, 2001 or 2 for 6 years, served on the national board for a while, and hope we can improve things around Pacifica in terms of programming. Thank you.
Thank you, Sandy. Okay, and Philip, did you make it? Philip Maldari from KPFA? Are you on the line? No, I don't hear him. Okay. All right, let's go to, unfinished business. We have a whole, nominations for chair pro tem and secretary pro tem are open. Anybody wants to be chair?
Well, I'd like to nominate Nancy.
Thank you. Anybody else want to be, chair? I'm suggesting that if there are other nominees, that we take turns chairing, and then everybody gets a taste of the candidate, and then also for Secretary Pro Tem. Any other nominees for our chair Pro Tem or chair? Anybody? Okay, are there any nominations for Secretary Pro Tem? No nominations? Okay, I will do Secretary Pro Tem today. So make sure for the other new people might want to do it. All right. So we have one nomination for Chair Pro Tem for Nancy, for myself. So I will chair this one, and the next meeting we'll let any other candidates who want to be chair to be able to have a chance at it. Is that okay with the committee? Any objections?
Yes. No objections.
Okay. No objections. Okay. So next, we have some unfinished business, a whole bunch that we worked on last year, and we did not get them into a finished product that we were satisfied with. I just put a whole bunch, and then I forgot about Sharon Salams, which is a very important one. We did not get to work on hers too much, and we did not get to work on the a once-a-month national programming, including all the Pacifica, like affiliates and all the 5 stations, segments from all these people. We did not get to work on that at all. But the other things I have listed, we have worked on. I've got some bullet points there.
Excuse me.
Yes.
Nancy, is it possible you can just bring the others up to date as to what we did get to do last year before we started?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Okay. I'll mention them. Pacifica in the Street was presented by Oscar Ulloa from KPFK. And I'll just read the bullet points for the people listening on the stream. Pacifica in the Street is a crew that's organized with volunteers with a communication among each other for reporting from the streets or breaking news. And they're to be approved by the program director and the general manager. And a list of these authorized people, crew, names and contact information will be in the control room. And when there's some kind of breaking news, it's not going to be on a regular basis, but when spontaneously, with the permission of the PD or GM, they're given 1 or 2 minutes airtime on the air. Okay, that's the Pacifica in the Streets. The next one is Whistleblower Special at the station. A cart will be played welcoming people to send in their testimony and or to come on with their voice disguised with software. These are for whistleblowers. And they can even snail mail their written testimony anonymously. And so a volunteer crew, will study and decide which ones are good and that they want to pursue and research and maybe invite expert panelists to opine, to give their opinions. And it will be presented as a substitute show unexpectedly, you know, perhaps called Pacifica Whistleblower Special or Pacifica WBAI Whistleblower Special or KPFT Whistleblower Special. And after the presentation, now the person who reads the testimony, we can disguise their voice with software, and we can also have the real person if they want to come forward, but I think it's better if we, anyway, software will be, disguising will be offered. Then we open up the telephone lines for the callers. And after the airing, we present a card on the air saying that we had this show and the date and time and how long it'll be archived. So it's sort of a sneak it in without any awareness or nobody would know that's going to be on. And this is to protect the station from attack because we've had attacks in the past. And so this was supported. This program idea was supported by nurses and teachers and veterans and even by Houston PD. Some of those policemen said they would love to have that kind of a show, but they don't want to go on with their own voice. Okay, and these specials can be put on audio port for distribution among the Pacifica network. And this committee could promote this and other shows like COVID Race and Democracy to affiliate stations. There's about over 200 of them by, you know, just promoting, if you like the show, let us know that you're airing it so we can thank you on the end of the show. And then we could also add, like, if you like this show, please support this show financially with a donation. That would be nice. You know, and say, KANU from Hawaii or WBAI from New York is having the show. You know, they could list the number of shows at the end. That gives a little more promotion. All right,
Thomas,
the next one is
Thomas.
Yeah, Thomas, go ahead.
In terms of this whistleblower show as a prototype or a potential pilot. I mean, no one's piloted this yet, have they? We're
well,
saying
maybe.
this is a an optimal thing that some stations could include or as an idea for it's, you know, potentially a national program. I mean, but a whistleblower program that invites people, you know, you talked quite a bit about the anonymity of, you know, maintaining, informants, their anonymity, and that certainly would be important. But for it to be a serious, you know, news show, you need people, you need some, you know, producers that could, you know, if they get a tip on a, you know, if they get a whistleblower hotline tip about, you know, I don't know, something going wrong at the EPA, you know, some cleanup site or a nuclear power center, you know, power plant or, you know, the Diablo Canyon or Seabrook or, you know, wherever around here, Calvert Cliffs or Harris, 3 Mile Island, you know. There has to be something that puts that kind of news into context, and in other words, I see a valuable news program potentially. Didn't Geraldo Rivera do something similar to this? Wasn't he?
I don't know.
You know, on television.
I'm
but
sorry.
In other words, Nancy, as a wish for you know, a Pacifica program on whistleblowers, it's fine, well and good, and maybe, you know, us, you know, sort of proffering this to the network and maybe a station could take it up would be a good thing. I'm just saying there's a lot to it.
Yes. So I think this is radical programming, and I think that it fits the Pacifica, but it's up to this committee. And whether we recommend it as a, you know, as a recommendation or suggestion, or mandated as a national mandate to have at least once a month for a special. And this would be, you know, I think the best way is it's when it's ready, when the volunteers have done their diligence and they're ready to produce something. And so it's not going to be on a regular basis. And it's actually better if it's not a regular show, then it'll be, I think it would be more safety if it's not a regular show, if it's just done suddenly. So if people want to know when that show is going to be, they can ask for a newsletter update. But I'm getting too deep into it. Anyway, this was one of the things. I had presented this. Let's see. Mm-hmm. Next is, yes, anybody else want to say something? Anybody?
Okay. Well, Sharon.
Yes, Sharon, go ahead.
Well, one of the things, though, in terms of doing something like this and on the airways is the amount of research that's going to be happening, because you have to look into everything and make sure whatever it is they're saying is correct, because you don't want to get caught up into, what do they call it, false advertising or whatever it is they want to call it. So you want to still protect the station while you're putting these things on her. So it's not going to be the type of thing where anybody can call up any day and say, well, this is happening. Somebody will have to look into it first to verify the information.
Yes, volunteer programmers who want to do this. And you're going have to have a bit of courage to do it, too. And they're going to have to disguise the voice so it won't be like sudden live. It'll be like more like pre-recorded, the person who's reading the testimony and change it with software. And then they will present that as a pre-record. And the others, it just depends on the group and the station, how they want to do it. Go ahead.
Yeah, because after that, I imagine you still have to make sure you're covered just in case any kind of outside influences that the people are whistleblowing about come forward and want to attack the station, gain information regarding the person that's involved in putting that information out. All that has to be thought at and looked into as well.
Yes, and
so, but when the program is done, I'm sure it'll be all of that stuff that we're talking about will what do you call that thing? A duck in a row, so that none of that kind of stuff would happen.
You mean a disclaimer?
Well, for something like that, I don't know. If you put a disclaimer up, then that's almost saying that you don't believe what the person is saying. All I'm saying is that you need to, verify the information. And if, let's say you're putting up some information about Make My Pillows. Somebody called and said that they are having children working in the stores, and they have them shipping them. These kids to come in working at night so that they don't get caught. And so the Make My Pillow guy might come up and say, hey, they're lying. Who put out these lies against us? You don't want that kind of stuff to happen without you being covered.
Yes, it has to be based on...
You know, it's almost like that voter fraud. Remember?
Yes.
The voter fraud?
Yes.
And now all those people who claim that the equipment was faulty are being sued.
So, Sharon, you're concerned about legal protection for the station.
Yes.
In case we... Yes, yes. Okay, that's, of course, important point. All right.
Mm-hmm.
Shall I go on to the next one is new programmer training programs. And like at the high school level, the WPFW program director, Katia Stitt, came and gave us a 30 or 40 minute interview or lecture about her station. And she said they had two programs that were training students, but they're not in that, they're not currently running. And there's one programmer from one LSB from KPFK, I think, Mr. McCon. He also had a plan for high school involvement, but it had never been put into action. And the KPFA station has a training program. I'm not sure how they're doing now virtually, but I think theirs is a long-running, currently running program for training new people. Frank, do you have something to opine on that? Frank? Are you?
Yeah, sure, I'm here. Briefly, I could just jump in and say that the part of the training program I'm part of is a 18-month training program. It's more in-depth, and it teaches a can you guys hear me? I hear a lot of background noise, or is that just me?
Okay. Think it's your line, but go ahead.
So the part of the training program, the training program I'm a part of is the First Voice Apprenticeship Program, and it's an 18-month program. So basically it teaches like a foundational skill level in kind of all aspects of the station, basically managing the equipment, how to use the board, get the sound on the air, but also how to record on a handheld recorder, how to record your own voice from home now, of course, and do interviews from home, how to write out a script for the air, stuff like that. So that is the First Voice Apprenticeship Program. We teach them the baseline skills and get them up to producing a show. And then after a year, they produce a show for 6 months, and then they graduate and move on. The news training program at KPFA, I believe, is 6 or 8 weeks. And they basically teach, how to read, from the wire, how to go out and gather sound at a local news event, a press conference with a handheld recorder. And then they teach, basic editing and also, like recording on a little phone interview thing they have so they could do phone interviews to get sound bites. And then they show them how to engineer that into like a 2 to 3 minute, news piece. So after those guys graduate the program, after 6 to 8 weeks, whatever it is, I'm not part of it. Then they're required to do a 6 month voluntary program where they produce a news piece one day a week, for the evening news for, I think it's 4 or 6 months, something like that. So they will be given an assignment early in the morning on their day where to go, kind of the angle they're hoping for and who to record. And then that person's job is to show up at that location, get the sound that they need, come back to the station or at home, wherever they're editing from, and submit their piece to the editor of the news that night for feedback by a certain time. Then take the feedback, incorporate the feedback, and resubmit the final piece before their deadline, which I believe is 4 or 5 p.m., and the news goes on at 6 at KPFA. That's the news training program. Also recently started is some sort of, I can't remember what it's called, but I think they call it AMP training program. And basically, it's one of the apprenticeship graduate, it's one of the First Voice apprenticeship graduates that are, leading that. I believe it's, I don't know the official title, but it's Antonio Ortiz who started this AMP training program. And they're basically teaching some board op skills, some basic editing, kind of like the apprenticeship program, but they're more compact in training. They're not as long and drawn out, and they don't have a regular show that they produce for, but they'll submit some of their recordings to different shows every once in a while. As far as engineering during the pandemic, the First Voice Apprenticeship Program has started virtual training in November of last year. It took us a while, March, April, May, June, but basically when the pandemic hit, the selection program lost students because most of them were starting, they had to move on, and their lives weren't able to cope with the pandemic and the apprenticeship program at the same time. So we immediately had to write up a plan for the station to continue the training program. We submitted that plan to the station, and then we started recruiting new applicants online and on the air, and then we did the whole process like we normally do, but we did it virtually. So we're continuing as the apprenticeship program, and we got online applicants that we're training now, and they're in their November, December, January, February, March. They're in their like fourth or fifth month of actual online training. So I think the training programs are important for the stations. If you guys can get one going, or if you need help, either like the news training program that Mark does, whether you agree with how it works or not, they do get people to go out and hit the streets and get sounds when they can. And the first voice, you know, like I said, it's a little bit longer program, and they have an air time slot that they produce every week. And actually, to tell you the truth, there's a lot of people that work at KPFA that previously won't be the first voice apprenticeship program. There's probably about, I don't know, at least 10 or 15 that are paid random board op positions. It may have been slimmed down now to the automation, but there's other people in positions that are voluntary that do late night broadcasts on their DJ shows that are graduates of the apprenticeship program. So yeah, there's a lot of us tied to it. So I would be interested. I've spoke out about helping other stations try to start their own training programs. It's never actually happened or materialized, but I'm still willing to do what I can. Again, I'm not part of the news training program, but I know people that were, which might be able to help spread out and maybe do a news training program for you guys, show you how to get it started and, you know, recruit people, get them in, teach them the basics, and then utilize their skills. So if there's any questions or anything, that'd be it for me.
Oh, Thomas. Thank you. Thomas, go ahead. Thomas, go ahead.
Yeah, hi Frank. That sounds really interesting, and I'd like to first off request that anything you know can share. I wanted to ask the group before Frank joined last year. Didn't Janine Etter send us a bunch of material? You work with Janine, Frank?
Yes, she was one of the first people. She actually had a time slot on KPFA. And gave it up so the apprenticeship program could have that time slot. He was, when the first voice apprenticeship started, they didn't have a time slot. I think they did like 5 or 8 years just teaching people the skills with no real outlet for their, product. But after Janine was called a bit, she gave up a time slot that she had on Friday nights at 7 that, became Full Circle, which is our show, the apprenticeship program show. And, so Janine, definitely might have submitted some materials.
Yeah, okay. Well, I only mentioned her name because, like I said, she sent us a bunch of stuff. But if you have, anything further that, you know, wasn't included, I'd certainly like to know more about it and, try to, see if, you know, how soon WPFW could start doing some of this. You say a number of people gone through your training have eventually get employed, at least, paid employees with it at the station, as well as other networks, right?
Yeah, I think they have spread out, not only Pacifica, but, I mean, people have worked at KQED out here in California. I believe there's someone working at a Boulder, Colorado community station. They have spread out throughout the country. But yes, some have been, there's not a lot of paid positions that open up at the stations, as you know, especially KPFA does have the largest, I guess, pool of paid employees. But they're kind of people that, you know how it goes, they're locked in. So there's not a lot of paid to get into, but mainly the apprentices ended up in board operation positions where they could come in, do a board op shift, and then get out, stuff like that. And also special events. I know that they're recording a lot of the speaker events and now doing video as well as the speaker events, stuff like that. So yeah, again, I'd be willing to even have an outside of the programming committee, have, you know, maybe arrange a meeting sometime. We could further discuss implementing some sort of training program. If you're interested in the news training program, possibly I can get either Mark or somebody else on board to be part of the meeting to talk about their training program. So yes, yeah. Anything else?
We would love to have an outline.
Go ahead.
Can you give us an outline, Frank? I wrote a whole bunch of notes while you were talking, but I'm going to have to listen back to the recording again. But I would love to see some kind of outline or of your programming training. That would be wonderful.
and person from your
news department, if he would give us some of his time and energy to do that too. Then we can submit something to all the stations to start, you know. I think KPFA has the most active training program of any of the stations right now, Glenn. Okay.
Okay, yeah, I can try to work on a little something. I know that we've been revising our program. The First Voice is about, I think it's going on 30 years old now, so we actually have been trying to, it's changed a lot. It's pretty fluid. It changes with the group dynamics of each group that comes in every 6 to 10 months. A new group of people come in. So yeah, we are trying to revise our outline and, you know, bring it up to date. But I could definitely share what we got soon. And then I could also reach out to either Mark Miracle, who runs the training program of the news department, or somebody that's also part of it. Yeah, we could follow up in some notes after the meeting and make some plans.
Oh, please, something written so we can give the other stations. That would be wonderful, just wonderful. Okay, so this is really wonderful. I'm really happy to hear that. And at KPFT, all the staff are not paid. They're all volunteer. We just have 4 people with paid, and their office, you know, an engineer and manager and business manager. But all the programmers are volunteer, and so this would be wonderful to have, you know, volunteers doing and spreading out, going to other places. But I mean, it would be lots of shows for them to come and help on. Okay. And do you also take retired people? You don't just stipulate only by age, right? You have older people you're training. Is that right?
Yes. Excuse me, I took a bite of my sandwich. The First Voice Apprenticeship Program is a multicultural and a multi-generational program. So, yes, we search for younger people, but also elders as well.
Oh, that's wonderful. Does anybody else have a question? Okay. Also, I put on there, we have a television station now since January of last year, Pacifica Foundation TV, and we need to start, you know, making more videos that are of good quality to put on the television station. And so I'm telling the committee, I think we should think about online radio shows online with captions, and that would bring in the deaf or the hard of hearing, and it also would bring an international audience, because people all over the world study English, particularly students, and if they can see it and they can see even another language on there, maybe Spanish or Chinese, or with captions you can go to town, and you can, Otis McClay said, put bouncing balls on the words when you're that correlate with what's being spoken. All right. The next item was National Bill of, oh, did I put director? National Bill of Programmers and Staff Rights. That's a typo. I didn't mean director. I mean rights for programmers and rights for staff. A process for show improvement supported by management is required, and a process for the LSB Programming Committee to work. And this LSB Programming Committee was submitted by Sharon Sloan, who's one of our members of this committee. And I forgot to put it on, but I did send it at the top list. We had not worked on that yet, but this needs to be at each station. So we have another way to help the programming from LSBs and people from the public who are not necessarily on the LSB and staff. Okay, and communication among all programmers and management is required. And this committee made a motion that was passed by the PMB that a listserv be made that is allows conversation among the programmers, among the volunteer staff or paid staff and management. And so it's not a one-way or top-down, but it allows for discussion. And this was passed last year. It has not been implemented or enforced yet. And it still needs some improvement. Like, some people may not want to, be known. They may not want to sign off, or they might want to give anonymous input, but they are a programmer or they are staff. So that's, I talked with the engineer about this and he said there's a way to do it. Okay. So we're still, trying to, improve this thing that's already been passed. The next thing is process of grievance. When somebody's about to lose their show, every effort needs to be made to improve the show. The programming committee could help with that. Anyway, some process of grievance. At first, we had WPFW had made a stab at this and worked on it, but they had, something like 3 months to improve the show. Anyway, we need input from programmers. That's what we really need, and particularly programmers who have lost shows. If you know programs have lost shows, you might want to get their input. They may have a very deep, good idea. And anonymous voting and anonymous suggestion collections from the staff needs to happen so we can get, we can get some movement and communication. All right, and the last thing was Pacifica and affiliate national programming at least once a month that would connect all these different, not all at once. There's 200 stations and affiliates, so 230 or 220, but at least allow them to have segments and edit it together for once a month. We did not work on this. Okay, I'm going to go back to the top of the list that I sent. Was Sharon Salam's programming committee. And,
Nancy, hold on. Thomas to the staff.
Yes, Thomas. Go ahead.
I could send it to you again for distribution to the new committee, a draft of a programmer bill of rights. We're still working on it, but we did have a lot, and there needed to be some revisions. The draft I had was working from was actually passed by our LSB several years ago, but was sort of dropped in terms of forcing management to talk to them about it. So, in examining it again, I thought there was definitely some holes that, needed to be ironed up. So I will send it to you in a day or two and, for distribution so we can talk about it next time. And then, it would be nice to have an idea of, because I've heard, that this doesn't exist at some stations, and I've also heard that certain stations have a history of something called programming councils that were sort of, sort of an amalgam of community input to programmers, as well as kind of how to, vehicles to protect programmers. That was my impression. But I'm not really sure, and I know BAI had one for, a number of years, and I don't know if they still do, and I don't know if there were any at the California stations. But, sort of a programmer bill of rights and a grievance procedure for, we're specifically talking about volunteers, not paid staff, who most of whom are covered by, union contracts. Somehow, it would be to offer them, a certain amount of procedural protection and, what to address the needs that we, all recognize as occurring on occasion, and sometimes frequently at certain stations, in terms of programmers having their shows canceled, being told, without it, much ceremony, no thank you anyway. And, you know, and what can be their, what can be their alternatives? And, yeah, okay, I'll leave it at that. So I will send something in the next few days to you, Nancy, and then for distribution to the committee, okay?
Okay.
Jack, can I just jump in for a direct response?
Jack, okay, go ahead.
Yeah, just to, on whether a program council still exists at WBA, it does not. There, but there are, various.
It did, efforts. Didn't it?
Yeah, it used to, yes. But it does not currently,
okay.
Anymore. But yeah. There are various efforts in the works, you know, related to all this, whether this, a grievance, procedure, or kind of rebuilding a sort of producer organization that resembles the programming council. And I'm hoping that I'll be able to update the committee, on these developments sometime in the next couple months. I do have to, hop off the call, right now, but I just want to make sure that I made that, made everyone aware of that.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Jack. Thank you very much.
That was Jack. Okay, good.
Jack.
Yeah. Oscar. Oscar to
Oscar.
The
stock. Oh, Oscar. Is it all right, everybody? Oscar presented the Pacifica in the Streets motion last year. Can we allow him to weigh in? Is there any objection?
Sure. Of course.
None
okay,
whatsoever.
None, no.
Go ahead, Oscar.
Yeah, nice to hear you all. Of course, I was... Well, not booted out, but replaced by a good friend and good sister, Lydia Ponce, on this committee. I'm still really interested on all the work that we've been doing. You know, the last, unfortunately, we got just kind of in the last month of where I was selected for this position. But I'm really glad and interested. Well, I'm pretty much glad to let you know that right now I'm in the LSD search committee for new GM here in KPFK. And believe me, one of the points that I'm going to try to stress into this, into the many motivations on the many, the points that or candidates are going to be asked are going to be most or some or most of the stuff that we've been working in the last, in the last months and the National Procurement Committee, because there's stuff that needs to be done. And I will gladly, you know, keep working or keep, getting in, you know, as somebody interested into the programming, and all the work, the excellent work that you guys are doing and presenting. And hopefully, you know, the can, I can, be of, interest for a new GM in this case, and put one of stress many of the motions that are being worked here. Hopefully, we can implement it here locally. But it's so good to hear all you, and I'm gonna try to keep assisting to these meetings. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you, Oscar.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's see. Where was I? Did we finish? Yeah, national bill. Let's see. Anyway, the main thing is that we're in a Pacifica Foundation, a Pacifica Media Network, and we're for peace and free speech, and we don't have justice for our programmers. And this has got to, we've got to stop this. We've got to make some justice here. And I don't think it's fair that people suddenly lose their show without any, all of a sudden like a guillotine happened, you know. So I think if we put something, wording, get together to enforce some justice, some grievance process, and put it into the PMB, recommend the PMB, and it's passed, then there are justice to be required of any program director, general manager, or programmer. I think it's high time we did this. And also, the loss of shows, which should be, I think, investigated. I think this committee could make some recommendations on shows that have been suddenly cut and it's or lost because the programmers resigned or they passed away. You know, KPFT lost their labor show. We haven't had a labor show for over a year now. And it wasn't cut off. It was just they got tired of it and they decided to resign after 17, 18 years. Anyway, we have to get new people in, and the youth is one thing. Okay, the last thing on here I think is the programming committee. All right, the motion for local programming committee. And whereas the primary product of a broadcast organization is its programming, and whereas the Pacifica Foundation bylaws expressly require each local station board, or LSB, quote, to work with station management to ensure that station policies and procedures for making programming decisions and for program evaluation are working in a fair, collaborative, and respectful manner to provide quality programming, unquote. And this is a motion. The National Pacifica National Board Programming Committee recommends to the PMB that it direct each local station board by, and she has January 31st, because we thought it was going to be done by January. We can change that. Establish an open programming committee or programming oversight committee and conform its existing committee to provide oversight of station programming, including but not limited to how programming needs are determined, how shows and programmers are selected, what programming agreements are made, how shows are scheduled and preempted, how programmers are educated and supported, how program success is measured, evaluated, how listener feedback is obtained and shared, how programming decisions are appealed, grieved, challenged, how programs are moved, extended, lengthened, or removed, and requires that the interim general manager attend or arrange the participation of the interim program director at these committee meetings that shall occur at least monthly. At least two board members must be members of the committee through the volunteering or election. And any person who attends an inaugural meeting or subsequently attends three consecutive committee meetings and signs the attendance sheet at each in-person meeting or defines himself or herself to the chair secretary at each virtual meeting becomes a voting member at the beginning of the third meeting. Anyone missing three consecutive committee meetings loses their membership at the end of the third meeting. All right. This is a really good start, I think. We need input from all the people how to make it a little bit better, but we're not going to aim for perfection because, you know, we need this kind of thing right now like yesterday. There's only KPFK and WPFW that have some kind of oversight programming committee, only two stations. KPFT, since 2012, we stopped that. We don't have it. So if it were mandated by the PMB, we would have a programming committee. And welcome to the public, to members, you know, our political members to join. Anybody want to say something?
Yeah, Nancy Thomas.
Thomas, go ahead.
One other thing that we discussed last year, too, and I had a recent brush with it, and that's why I was reminded to bring this up. But we had made, and we could go back and find the draft, attempts to write a motion. And you mentioned this a bit earlier in this meeting, of how we or a program committee can reach out to programmers and to encourage communication with programmers and across, you know, programmer producer lines. At PFW at this point, that does not exist. The only thing that does exist is the program director is capable of sending, you know, a note, a message to all programmers. But, you know, one programmer B cannot write directly to programmer D using that list because it's not, you know, it's hidden from them. So we wanted to, that we can put this on the agenda for next time, encourage a motion that would encourage, well, let me just say this. I brought this up recently locally and was told by the chair of the LSB that who is a programmer, sort of given kind of one of the lines, the company line, that many programmers don't want to, you know, have their emails, email boxes filled with solicitations and, you know, don't want to be bothered by the public if this was available. And he could be speaking for some people, but it sounds like an excuse to avoid, you know, allowing programmers and producers to talk to each other, as well as LSB people who aren't either one necessarily. So I think it would be a healthy thing, and you know, something to explore. I know they don't exist in most stations, and like I said, it doesn't exist in PFW. Even if you go to our website, and I think BAI has a very good website, and they probably, Ralph, you could probably speak to this. You know, when you go to the grid and you hover over a show, something, you know, a pop-up ad comes on, you know, usually a picture of the host and a description. And very often it could have some contact information. Well, at PFW, those pop-ups are, they do exist on some of the grid, but none of them have emails. And the thing is, a lot of the hosts do give out their contact information during their shows. So it's not like it's always hidden by programmers. So that's why I bring it up. And if you could, you know, comment on that, Ralph, or someone from BAI, at, you know, like to know more.
Yes, it is a pretty good website. It's constant work on improving it. Constant criticism, and I guess that's what makes it work. It's, you know, but it is a good system.
Okay, Ralph, before you said it is a good system, what did you say?
I said it is under constant criticism, but that's what makes it a good system. You know, when something is not there, people speak up on it.
I see. If it's under constant criticism, yeah, then we can stay on the ball. Okay.
It seems to work.
Okay, and there's also some of the programmers at KPFT have an email, like Wally@kpft.org. No, it's WallyJ@kpft.org. And a lot of other programmers, but not all. And I think it should be, they should have one that's with the station. Therefore, people can, they'll know when they get it. I don't know how programmers feel about this, but they have that ability at KPFT. Maybe we should recommend strongly or even ask for a mandate so that the listeners can have an address to opine through. Okay.
It's Sandy, yes? Sandy for the staff.
Sandy, go ahead.
Yeah, just briefly, I heard this whole discussion about email. 24 years has proven that relying on the station's email, number one, is not a good idea for reliability purposes and otherwise. And number two, with social media around, it's really easy to communicate with people with in media, the public figures, anybody. Just go to Facebook, go to Twitter. So you can always get a hold of people to have that discussion. So I think this maybe is an unnecessary step in some ways, going back to that issue where some programmers just don't want to. And if they don't want to, we're volunteers, and I think you need to respect that. Thank you.
Okay. Yeah, and people can always, the listeners can always email the LSBs. Yes, is that Thomas? Who is that? Who spoke just now? Did somebody get asked for the floor?
Sounded like Lawrence.
Oh, Lawrence?
No, I didn't ask for the floor. No, I'm good.
Okay.
All right. I have a question. I have been asked by some people to have some of our time dedicated to public comment for the public to call in. How does everybody feel about that? Because, you know, we could do that for, and then how many minutes would you like to set aside for public comment? I think that's good to get input, but how does everybody feel? Does anybody have some strong opinion about this? Is there anybody against? How many minutes if we were to do it?
Sharon.
A good idea.
Sharon,
Thomas, go ahead.
Go ahead, Thomas.
Sharon.
I was going to say, I think it's a good idea. And, you know, 15, 20 minutes allotted would be probably more than enough. I assume we'll, you know, this will be communicated via all the networks or the Pacific Archives, you know, the website, so people will, you know, the public can call in, right?
Okay, I'm going to draft a motion and put that. The Pacifica.org should be on there, and the KPFDX.org, and the stations. Go ahead, Sharon.
Well, I don't really have a problem with the listeners calling in or anyone calling in, but my issue is that when people call in with their comments and their questions, I know at BAN, we are not allowed to respond to their comments and questions, and it might get a little annoying for the people who are calling in. If they have a question, they won't answer it. How is that going to work? Are we going to be able to respond? Are we not going to be able to respond?
How does this committee feel? How do you feel, Sharon?
Well, I feel if there is no way for you to respond, it doesn't make any sense to do it.
Okay.
That's my opinion. But others, I'm sure, might have a different opinion to it. Because if they call in with a question on programming, if we know the answer, we should try to answer it. If we know. Or we should be able to say, no, we don't know the answer to that.
I think that's great. Is everybody okay with that?
I am.
I don't hear. Okay.
I totally agree with it.
Okay, because we don't have to.
I think Sharon's right. You have to be able to respond.
Yeah, so this is new. No one has ever done this on a teleconference national committee, you know, to have the public comment, so there's no rules yet. So I think we can do what we want. All right, how many minutes, if we were to do this next time, how many minutes? Tom said 15, 20 minutes.
I think 15 minutes is fine if it's a time certain. And
yeah, we can try 15 minutes for next time if there's no other objections. If we want to trim it down or add it up, that's up to the committee. Okay.
Right.
Well, when would you like to have it? Would you like it interspersed, like 5 minutes at the beginning, 5 minutes in the middle, and 5 minutes at the end, or would you like it at one spot? Anybody have a preference?
I think this O'Rourke again. The beginning of the second half hour. You've got to organize. You've got an agenda, and then during the second half hour, you could.
Okay, beginning of the second half hour. Okay.
Or sometime during the second half hour.
Or sometime during the second half hour. All right. Beginning or during the second half hour. All right. 15 minutes. Is anybody objecting to that? Is that okay? All right, I have a second question. I would like to make a text circle, but I want permission of everybody to put their telephone number on the text circle. And the reason is we can have a quick reminder of the meeting coming up, or some kind of communication that we want among ourselves. But on the honor system, please do not use these numbers. Do not distribute them. Just use for this particular committee. Now, if you don't want your number there, please tell me or text me or email me. But I need to have permission if you want it on. Otherwise, I'll have to text you separately when I need to get something. And I don't mind doing that for people feeling the privacy of their telephone number. So please communicate with me if you're okay. People who were on the committee last year, I assume I have their permission for this year or two, but if they change their mind, let me know. Okay, the last thing, next meeting is May 9th at 2 p.m. Is that still okay with everybody? Sunday? 2 p.m.
Yes.
Eastern.
Yes.
No objections? Okay, that's our next meeting.
Let me ask this, Nancy. For the person who has this show that is happening at the same time, how is that going to be resolved?
Okay, he he said his it's Philip Maldari. He has a call-in show at KPFA in the Sunday morning, and he said it finishes at at 2 p.m. Eastern. And then I asked the last time we got together, but we were had a non-core meeting, and everybody was not objecting to changing our time from 1:30 Eastern to 2 p.m. Eastern. Then I got an email from Philip saying that, no, he really prefers it to be 3 p.m. Eastern. And I did not change. And it may be, you know, because I said, well, you can turn on your phone and listen while you're driving home. And I made all kinds of suggestions, but he wants it at 3 p.m. Eastern instead of at 2 p.m. And I asked him, what is your burning desire on the committee? And I'll refer it to the, you know, let everybody know. And he said he wants to make sure that national programming does not F-U-C-K the schedule. Okay, and he repeated it twice. All right, so he's concerned with national programming not interfering with the schedule. All right, I just wanted to put that. I wanted to know everybody's burning desire this time, and I wish you would email it on to everybody because we don't have time. And it's now we're supposed to have only about an hour and a half because I don't want burnout. I want everybody. I don't want to lose any soldiers. We need all of us, and I'm glad Oscar was willing to listen and pine in, and so I'm glad we're going to allow public comment next time. If you have agendas, items, and something burning that we didn't cover today, please send it to the group or send it to me, and I will send it to the group. And please tell me if you're going to give your permission for using your text number in a circle, only for this committee. I would appreciate.
Nancy, this is Wally. Yes. Can I say something?
Oh, sure, Wally.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Okay, so the meetings are going to continue to be an hour and a half, and then the call-in is going to be during the second 30 minutes of the show.
Yes.
Is that the plan? Okay, I just wanted to clarify that.
Yes, and if we get to the hour and a half and the committee wants to do a little bit more, if it's up to the committee, but I think I'm warning or suggesting that we keep it at an hour and a half so we don't have burnout. And we are meeting twice a month. Of course, it's up to the committee how they decide to do. Yes?
Lawrence to the back.
Did I hear somebody before Lawrence? Okay, go ahead, Lawrence.
So when you say public comment, is that public comment to the committee?
Yes. So we
that's great.
The telephone great. Number and the code number. So that
I completely support that. That's great. Thank you.
Oh, good, good. And I'm thinking to send to all the LSBs and to any of the CABs or that they have a listserv. And if you can think of anybody else you would like to send to, like the New Day Pacifica Group or the Pacifica Fightback Group or WBAI Fightback Group, or this is Pacifica Listener Forum. That we should open our arms to all, I think. So send me emails if you want, or you can also resend forward. Everybody on this committee. Okay, this is 2021. This is our first meeting for the year with the new group. And last year we had a wonderful group. We worked well together. We got two motions passed, you know. And all these other unfinished business started. So be thinking about these things and discuss on email in the meanwhile, and we'll report at the next meeting what was done on the email so people will understand how we came to our conclusions. Is there anybody else that wants to say something before we end?
Thomas.
Thomas, okay.
To be clear, April 25th is no longer consideration, so it's May 9th is our next meeting.
Yes, and I forgot what was the reason. Was it the...
I don't know. You included put two dates, if April 25th is out, I'll just erase it. No big thing.
Wait a minute.
Next meeting is May 9th.
There must have been a reason that I didn't do April 25th.
You said your note says consider, and so you had two dates.
Lawrence to the back.
Yes, Lawrence. Go ahead.
Yeah, I think you put two dates, one for April 25th for consideration and May 9th. I'll prefer May 9th because the Committee of Inclusion at KPFK is going to schedule a meeting for April 25th.
Okay, that's probably why I did that. I changed it. All right, so April 25th, Sunday, again, like at this time, 2 p.m. Eastern. And we
can
change the time later on, but we'll, you know, we're doing this for Philip. Did he show up? Anybody? Philip Maldari, are you here? Okay, he didn't show up. All right, so anybody else want to say something before we end? Did anybody?
Frank here.
Frank
here. Just FYI, one day in May is going to be Mother's Day.
The 9th is Mother's Day?
I don't know what day it is. I'm not looking at the calendar. I'm just saying Mother's Day
is it's third Sunday.
Okay, there you go. I'm just FYI. I just wanted you to check that out. I don't have my calendar open.
Okay, so we're not doing Mother's Day, but the KPFK local station board is. Okay. Thank you, Frank. And Frank, we have an action item for Frank to come up with an outline of the training program, as much as you can, as best as you can, and to get Mr. Miracle. We would love to get an outline from him. That would be nice. For training programs to suggest to all the other stations that don't have one.
Also,
that would be wonderful.
Also, let me know if you guys are interested in setting up some sort of Zoom meeting with Mark or with me and the director sometime, if you're into that.
Oh, that's a good idea. That's really good. Okay, is there anything
excuse me, this is Thomas. I stand corrected.
Yes?
The 9th is Mother's Day.
Oh, it is.
Now, the 2nd is the first Sunday in May.
All right, but that would be in 1 week. Is everybody okay with another meeting in 1 week? If it's all right.
What's today?
Today is the last Sunday of, what are we?
It'll be 2 weeks, Nancy. It's 2 weeks.
Oh, 2 weeks? Okay, good. Then it's all right. Then May 2nd. Is everybody okay with May 2nd?
April 11th? Yeah.
No, today is April 11th. That's right.
Today's April 11th, so we're talking about a month from now.
Oh, I don't know why. I don't know what it was. But anyway, okay. So April 2nd. How about April? May 2nd. I'm sorry. May 2nd. Then we don't step on Mother's Day. Okay. Is everybody okay with the May 2nd? Hearing no objections. May 2nd it is. Okay, good, good. And I'm not sure about the next meeting, the after May 2nd meeting. I'm not sure. I have to figure it out. The 30th seems to be clear right now. I hate to do it when the other. So I have a question. KPFK General Manager Search. This is 10 p.m. Okay, that's way at night. All right. Maybe it could be 23rd. Then that would be a 2 week in between. What do you think, Lawrence, and who else is from?
GM Search Committee meets every 2 weeks. So today is our second meeting of the Search Committee. So so we're planning on meeting every 2 weeks. So the meeting the following meeting will be on the 25th at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, which is 10 o'clock Eastern.
Okay, If we had a 23rd meeting, would it bother you, Lawrence, to have a meeting in the afternoon and then a meeting at night?
No, it won't bother me.
Okay,
that's fine.
23rd. Okay, Thomas? Thomas, I heard your voice.
Never mind. It was a question about Thomas. Never mind. I move we adjourn.
Okay, May 2nd and May 23rd. Is everybody okay with that? I hate to do these questions so suddenly at the end. Okay, I'm going to put May 2nd and May 23rd. And if May 2nd comes and y'all don't like 23rd or something like that, we can change it to 30th then. Okay, let's adjourn and have a good weekend. And let's have a good year, okay?
Thank you, Nancy. Thank you, everyone.
Okay.
Good
take
idea,
care, everyone.
Man. Thank you.
Okay, now.
Good night. Okay,
bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye, everyone. Franklin out.
Goodbye.